Welcome to the Sportscast World Cup coverage, December 9th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can listen to us 24/7. And you can go to our Twitter, The Sportscast One, and also on Instagram, The Sportscast One. You could also download our app, The Sportscast for iOS. One South American supergiant is out of the World Cup. Another moves on to the semifinals. And it was a historic day. Both games today went into penalty kicks. Argentina versus Holland and Croatia versus Brazil. Both fantastic matches. And join us all the way from PNW Pacific Northwest, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me back again. World Cup surprises again. Every match week there's a surprise. And of course, in the quarterfinals, it doesn't disappoint.
Was it both surprises, both matches, or one of the two?
I'm one. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Both.
No, now but one. There was at least one.
Yeah, like obviously, I think everyone. I have not heard one person this past couple of days that picked Croatia over Brazil, and I think the Argentina Netherlands was a little bit close. I've been hearing half and half.
Yeah,
but did you hear anyone picking Croatia from your circle?
Not really. So Brazil just ruined everyone's brackets. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
It wasn't some of those smaller countries like Morocco making it through, Japan, South Korea. But yeah, for sure, Brazil. Now everyone's bracket is ruined.
Everyone's back. But part of it is right with Argentina, which we'll start with that first. That game ended a few hours ago. Argentina defeating the Netherlands. In penalty kicks, 4-3. Regulation time was 2-2. And the game started with an amazing assist from Messi. It was pretty much blind. I don't think he knew the player was there. Maybe he did. Actually, he probably did. So subconsciously, passed it to Molina, scored, perfect pass. And then in the 73rd minute, Lionel Messi scored. This time, but through a penalty. And then Netherlands at the 83rd minute cut the score in half 2-1. Then, and I believe it was injury time, 99th minute. Weghorst, the same guy who scored the first goal for Netherlands, tied it up 2-2, went into penalties. And the goalkeeper for Argentina was fantastic. He stopped two goals, the first two penalty kicks. Martinez from Aston Villa, and Argentina won. They only missed one penalty, I believe, but they made it all 4-3. Francisco, your thoughts over this match?
Yeah, it was pretty dominating from Argentina's side. I felt like after the 2-0, it felt like Argentina was gonna seal the deal. But what did they say about being up 2-0? It's like the worst score to be up by in soccer. So yeah, Netherlands, with a lot of effort and some luck, of course, as well, were able to tie it up. And yeah, I think the Netherlands did well to rally and be like, hey, we're down two goals and we still got some time. We can make it. And, they did well to go through. But yeah, I think in the penalties, Argentina with Emi Martinez, I felt like he was going to be he's a better keeper for defending penalties, I feel like. So I felt like if you go to penalties with Argentina, it's pretty hard to beat them at that point. You got to beat them in the 90 or in stoppage time or extra time.
Yeah, Argentina has a good record with penalty kick shootouts. I remember the 1990 World Cup. I think they had two knockout games that went to penalties and they made it out. And then Holland, for example, I think it's half and half, I believe. I haven't looked at their record. But one of the other key points in this match, which could affect Argentina down the road, is the total match has 17 yellow cards. The ref was rough, and I've been hearing from the commentators that he's from Spain, so he officiates in La Liga, and maybe Francisco has maybe seen him before. 17 yellows. What were your thoughts over all these yellow cards?
There was definitely some heated exchanges there. I mean, there was, what was it, in the 80, after the 2-1, I think, the benches cleared, and it looked like there was going to be a pretty big scuffle. And
a brawl. One of the Argentinian players shot the ball to the bench.
Oh, okay, that's what it was. Yeah. I couldn't remember what it was. But yeah, he kicked the ball straight at the bench, and obviously that's going to anger anybody. It doesn't have to be, World Cup situation or anything. Like in a regular, league game, you don't kick the ball at the opposing player's bench. So I understand that. But yeah, there was a lot of yellow cards. This ref, Lajos, I think that's his name. He's La Liga ref, and he's known.
Antonio Miguel Mattel Lajos. You're right.
Yeah, he's known for being just a his name because of the time that he spent in La Liga, like he's well known, but he's not the best ref. He's not one of the best. Probably the most he probably just got called to this World Cup because of his name, because of his how long he's been. He's probably one of the longest serving La Liga refs right now. But yeah, not impressed with him at all. And any game that he refs, so he better not ref the final. This is a warning for FIFA, because if he refs the final, that's going to be it's not going to be good. It's not going to look well. But yeah, 17 cards is a lot, and I think some players are going to be affected by it. I don't remember specifically who, but I think some players won't be able to play in the next match for Argentina. So
yeah, there's one Argentinian player I believe that cannot be played next match against Croatia. Yeah. Right.
But they have a deep squad, so they should be fine. They'll for be the okay. next round. Just don't let them, don't go to penalties with Argentina. You're probably fine. But if you get to the penalties, good luck. Good luck. No one has the amount of skill to, overcome Argentina. You got Messi, you got other penalty takers. Not only that, you also got the penalty stopper in Emi Martinez, who has a ton of experience and safe hands and everything, so he's a tough keeper to get past.
And we'll talk about the order of when should the star players shoot their penalty shootout penalty kicks. But before we get to that, Louis van Gaal, very strategic coach, very tactical coach. He outcoached the USA team, Greg Berhalter, in their win against the US 3-1. People were wondering maybe Louis van Gaal would pull some tricks in this game. And he actually did. He put in two tall strikers. One of them was Woot Weghorst, and the other one was Luke Van Jong. That's his name. And Woot Weghorst, tall players. I saw the strategy. Most of the Argentinian team is pretty small in height, except the goalkeeper. He's 6'5". And he put these tall players, and they do a lot of chaos strategy where they just kick the ball towards the middle high, and hopefully one of the tall strikers or tall players heads it in. That happened in one play with Woot Weghorst, headed the ball in the goal. And the other goal was through a set piece, which was really brilliant, by the way. Got into the middle, and Weghorst got the ball and shot it in. But Francisco, what were your thoughts over Louis van Gaal's strategy for this match?
Well, I think it was just, straightforward. Nothing too out of the ordinary for them. I think, there's a little bit of like those tactical changes, that you make after you see going into the game. But I felt like it was pretty standard formation and lineup for Netherlands. Where things change is, as far as the once you see the opposing team's lineup and how they're going to play, that's kind of where you start making tweaks here and there, which we saw Argentina switch it up with that five back So I thought both teams were playing super defensive, just sitting back and waiting and just letting their creative players take over. You know, when you have, for example, Netherlands case, you've got Bergwijn, you got Depay, you got Gakpo. These guys are super creative. You know, they can run, they could pass balls themselves. So there's, you know, letting the creative players, you know, do their thing and giving them that freedom. I think that's kind of what is Netherlands' like strong point as far as an attack. And then in the back, as far as defense, like those players know what to do and how to do it. Virgil van Dijk, Ake, like there you have Liverpool and Man City players, like teams that cannot, you know, they want to minimize the amount of defensive mistakes that they make. So that right there in itself is very valuable for the international team. You know, the only thing that sucks is that they play on opposing teams, but you know, when you bring them together, it shows you like they could bring a team here to the World Cup that can compete. But you know, when you got just the stacked Argentina team that you do with the amount of talent with each individual player and their individual talents, it was just eventually another one was going to break. It took all the way till the penalties. So it was a good fight from the Netherlands for the full 90 in stoppage time. And I felt that they deserved the draw as far as scoring those two goals, what they were doing, they deserved it on the field. And like you were saying, Louis van Gaal is also, I feel like he's very conservative as far as his managing style. But, you know, if when it matters, like in a World Cup or when it's a final or something, he does the things, he makes the changes that he needs to make. So I think you got to give him some credit for that as well.
That first goal that Messi orchestrated, went to the middle and did that blind pass to Molina. Van Dijk had no hope.
No, none at all. Like you can be as big, as strong, as physical as you want, as you can be. You can, you know, max out FIFA career style, you know, max out all your stats on center backs or whatever. It doesn't matter when it's someone has the skill like that. Like you just, there's nothing you can do. None of your talents, you know, are going to help you. Like it's just skill versus natural skill. And the attacking skill always overpowers the defensive skill. You know, you need goals in soccer. So that is what's going to shine, you know, in the end is who got the goals, not the clean sheets.
Do you think Netherlands has a bright future ahead of them? I know most of them are pretty young. Van Dijk's 31, so maybe, you know, he might have a good Euro ahead of him. Not sure about the World Cup. But what do you think about this Holland team overall? I think their best game was against the U.S., but what were your thoughts over this team in this World Cup?
Yeah, I think they're going forward. They'll have plenty of talent, you know, for the next World Cup and even the one after that. You know, there are some players that are older, like Virgil van Dijk, you were saying, but don't forget the World Cup is only 3.5 years away, not four, the full 4 years. So, I mean, 34 going into 35, like he could still be there. And like I said, some managers will call it players because of their experience and the effect of the leadership that they have on other players. So he might not play, but he's still going to get called up. But yeah, I think excellent, a good try from the Netherlands. And I don't think they should be disappointed. They went up against arguably the best, one of the best teams, Brazil and Argentina, I think were probably the best teams going in. So I don't think they should be disappointed. And, you know, if maybe in a different World Cup, they would have ended up, you know, on a different side of the bracket with a different opponent, you know, they could have made it to the semifinals or maybe even the final, but, again. I thought it was a good try. There's always a next year or next World Cup, I guess.
Next World Cup. Yeah. Congratulations to Holland. Argentina, when Holland tied up 2-2, I thought Netherlands had the momentum going in. Like I thought they were going to win it. What were your thoughts? You thought like Argentina was going to lose it, or do you think Argentina was going to come back and win it?
Well, it felt like Argentina kind of let off the gas a lot, and that's mainly the reason why Netherlands was able to score. They took advantage of the fact that Argentina let their guard down. It, as far as the momentum, it felt like they could possibly score a third and get the win. But I mean, yeah, with this Argentina team, I was like, they're going to score another one. Like, it's just going to come. Giving them a little 15, 10-minute breather so they could catch their breath and go in extra time. Like, I would be more scared of that because they really wanted to win this game. And you could tell because for some reason, Messi was really aggravated at the end. I don't know if you saw the interview that he was giving. And as the player, the Netherlands players were walking by, he was like talking smack to them. Like, what are you looking at? Like, he was just being so cocky about it. I was like,
I've never seen Messi like that.
Hey, well, that's who Messi is, man. I read a comment too that was like, oh, if this was Ronaldo, like, hey, all the media, you know, would have been just blowing it up. Like, oh, why is Ronaldo such an a-hole and all this and that? But I mean, when you're that good, you have to be, you know, you have to be really selfish. And I just think that Ronaldo takes a lot more heat for acting that way, and Messi does the same things, not the same type of things, but they come off as selfish. And I think this is an example of that. And I mean, I'm not trying to compare the two or that you should or you shouldn't say things about them. I mean, they're superstars, they're celebrities, like they're out in the public, so everyone's entitled to have, you know, their opinions about them. But I just think it's something to point out because, you know, Ronaldo does get a lot of heat for the way that he acts.
Oh, Ronaldo. Lionel Messi said that Netherlands coach Louis van Gaal disrespected him before Argentina's win.
He didn't put any respect on his name.
Yeah, and he also said the referee, FIFA cannot put a referee like that in again. He is not up to the task.
Oh, see, I told you he's not a good ref. Demote him right now. I'm telling you, they're gonna put him in the final. I'm telling you, I'm calling it right now.
Yeah. It could happen, and maybe Argentina might be there. So let's move on to the next match, Brazil versus Croatia. In full regulation, it was 0-0 after 90 minutes. But in the 105th minute, Neymar scored a beautiful goal that really I thought Brazil was going to win it. But in the World Cup, every team plays to the last minute. Keep that in mind. Pekovic had a beautiful goal from, I believe, right outside the box in the 117th minute. They tied it 1-1 and then went to penalties. And Croatia beat Brazil 4-2. And I believe they had two blocks or two misses. But what were your thoughts over this match?
What a game. It was intense. It was lots of emotions running. I felt like Brazil really, really wanted to win. Same with Croatia. But it felt like the Brazilian players had a little bit more emotion, more, I don't know, something like if they didn't win, like they were going to fail, which I feel like maybe it's Pele and you know what he's going through, and you know that he's such an influential figure, not just in soccer but specifically for Brazil, because that's where he was from, and you know, everybody knows his name there, so I can understand that. But yeah, it was a kind of a tough game to watch, as far as seeing, you know, some of the players just bawl their eyes out afterwards. It kind of like brought you in and was like, man, that shows you how much the World Cup means to these players. But yeah, I think Croatia played their cards right and were able to stay in play with Croatia, play to the level of Brazil. So I think they did really well in that aspect. Also just kind of tactically, you know, all playing as a team, like their team strategy, I felt like it really worked, and you know, held Brazil to just one goal, with all that attacking potential with Richarlison, Neymar, Vinicius. I mean, this team is more stacked than Argentina, you know, and we talk about how deep of a squad Argentina has, just so many players, for Brazil to pick from. But yeah, it felt like they deserved to go a little bit further, but I mean, well done to Croatia. I feel like they deserve even more. I know a lot of people are talking more about Brazil because of, you know, the quality of their players. But I mean, if that's how good Brazil was, how much did Croatia have to do, you know, to beat them. So I think they deserve an even bigger round of applause. And also Luka Modric, because he's 37 years old and he's playing like he's 20. So that's also good to see. Croatia just playing like a squad, and that's how you get things done. If you play like a team, you're going to go as far as you want to be, as far as you want to get. And I think Croatia's going to make it all the way to the final.
Wow. You heard it here first. Hey,
if I could change my bracket right now, I'd go and change it, but it doesn't matter anymore. So,
and it won't be their first. This is their second time. They went for the first time in 2018 in Russia, but lost against France. People underestimated Croatia. I did. Everyone did. I'm not sure. Francisco probably did too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I did as well.
And this team has experience. You know, Modric, Kovacic from Chelsea, the goalkeeper Livakovic. I think he had a fantastic match. Who plays for Dynamo Zagreb? But Brazil had 21 shots on goal. That's incredible. And Croatia's defense to stop them.
Right. Goal. Livkovic. I think he was man of the match.
He was. Let's see. I want to check on the FOTMA ratings here. They do not tell me who is the man of the match.
I'm not sure. Well, he got the highest rating.
Mislav Orsic, you mean?
The goalkeeper.
Oh, the goalkeeper? Yeah, probably. Yeah, he definitely deserved it. This Brazilian team, Francisco, Neymar, this could be his last World Cup. He didn't really indicate might happen. I think I believe he's 31 years old. He's 30.
30, yeah.
Maybe play one more, but yeah. Do you think this might be his last World Cup? I mean, he obviously could play a Copa America, but
I don't think so, because since he tied the record, Pele's record, I think he probably thought he was going to break it this World Cup, because, you know, look at his team. He was like, we're going to make it all the way to the final. So I got plenty of matches to score and break the record. But he's got to come back to at least break the record, score one more goal in the World Cup at 34. Who knows what condition we'll see him in. I mean, we've seen all different stages of Neymar. We've seen, injured Neymar out of shape. We've seen fat Neymar after he comes back from the summer, you know, where he's not fully in shape. We've seen every different type of Neymar possible. So who knows what kind of condition he'll be in, and he'll probably get injured and find a way to go to his sister's birthday party in leading into that year of the World Cup. Cause that would be in 2025. He would, like, towards the December, just like it happened here. Like, he got injured. But we'll see. We'll see if this year he makes it to his sister's birthday that he always makes it to somehow every year.
Yeah, Neymar that pays for PSG. We'll see what happens. This Brazilian team is young. Chiche, the head coach of the Brazil national team, said this was his last game with them, and he's moving on. I think he had two World Cup stints, right? In Russia and this one, right?
I think this was his... This is the only one so far.
Oh, really? I got to check it out. But, yeah, he had a
good... Oh, no. He was there, yeah. Yeah, he was there in the last one.
I remember that. And I remember that he would call Neymar the bow and Richarlison the arrow, and which I guess it did work out. He missed... He only played for three matches out of the five, so he only missed two. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But I would say a little bit early for Brazil to leave, but you got to beat the good teams, and Croatia is a good team. Do you think Brazil has potential with this group still in like 4 years, or you think they need something else?
Endrick, yeah, that's what they need. Well, in 4 years he'll be 20, so we'll see how he develops at Madrid. I think they definitely have plenty of future players and stars and players that we haven't even heard of yet that are going to come out. Just Brazil just has such a huge pool of soccer players, so I wouldn't be worried if I was them. I do agree with you. I think it was a little premature to fire the coach. I think they should have just kept riding the momentum. Like, yeah, you got knocked out of the World Cup, but I feel like he probably, with what he's, you know, established there, you know, since 2016, that's 6 years. I feel like, you know, going into the next year, you know, we got Gold Cup, Copa America, whatever's coming up, like even just one of those tournaments, but maybe they just want to start over and start fresh, since, you know, it's only 3.5 years until the next World Cup. So it doesn't really leave a lot of time in games for a new manager to come in and try to set up a system. So we'll see what happens. But I think that it was a little premature and they should have kept him for,
yeah,
even just another tournament, at least another FIFA tournament.
Yeah, which we'll get to that a little bit down. Penalty takers, when should the star player play the penalty, kick his penalty, towards the beginning or towards the end where it could matter?
I've always put them at the end. That's just always been my strategy in FIFA. And if I was a manager, that's what I would do. I'd put my best takers at the end. But I would do it like by rating, right? Obviously you can't rate your players. I mean, you can, the coach, it's like, who's the best one is the fifth one, and then the second best and the third best, fourth, fifth best, like that, from the players that are starting or the players that are on the field, I guess.
Would you sub in a goalkeeper that is better in penalties versus a goalkeeper that's played all game?
I would want, and I would choose a goalkeeper that is the best overall. So my starting keeper would have to be, you know, also good at blocking penalties. But if I didn't have, if I had a good goalkeeper and he wasn't the best at taking penalties, and I had another guy, another goalie that was, I would make the sub. I would do it.
That happened to Holland 4 years ago, where they put in Kroll.
Oh yeah.
Instead of the other one, I think the other one played for Barcelona, I believe, which I'm surprised he's on this World Cup. Well, maybe he is, but he wasn't starting.
Oh, was it Cillessen?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Is he on the roster this squad? I mean, for this World Cup, or he's what, like, checked out, or?
I don't think he got called up.
I don't think so, and I don't think he plays for Barcelona anymore.
Let's see, it was Pasveer. And Justin Billow. Those were the two backup goalies. So nope, no Cillessen.
Yeah,
I think he's just too old now.
Yeah, I think he's too old. You know,
doesn't make old, sense like, for a like goal. Robin. You can't call a goalkeeper old, but okay.
Usually Jasper older. Cillessen. Yeah, he played for Barcelona. He's currently with NEC, so that's probably a Dutch team.
Yeah, that's a Dutch team.
And he's 33, so I guess he became like that other English goalkeeper there.
I don't think he was too old. I think he's just not good.
Yeah, exactly. That's just how it is, you know. It's like, kind of reminds me of, I'm trying to pull up this goal from England, Joe Hart, you know.
He went
from Man City to like playing in Nice, France, and then MLS.
Exactly. That's a good example. Good comparison.
Anyways, one semi-final is set. Argentina versus Croatia. But we got a couple more games tomorrow. Two quarterfinals. That quick. Just 2 days of quarterfinal games. So far, 2 of 2 have been penalty shootouts. Predictions, Morocco versus Portugal. Portugal had a fantastic round of 16. They beat 6-1 against Switzerland, and Morocco beat Spain in penalties, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was penalties. My gosh, so much penalties, so much games. What are your thoughts over this match tomorrow morning?
Well, for Portugal and Morocco, I'm still hoping for – I know I said Croatia was going to make it all the way to the final, but I'm still keeping my fingers crossed for Argentina-Portugal final. So
it could very well happen, to be honest.
So obviously, I have to go with Portugal. And the only strategy they need to use is don't start Ronaldo. And they'll probably make it to the next round.
That is true, actually. I've been hearing reports he may not start.
So from what I heard and read is that Ronaldo, Santos had the talk with Ronaldo. Oof. And the talk was about, hey, like, don't don't go out and criticize my decisions to the media, basically. And
don't tell Piers Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. But before the game, this last game against Switzerland, Santos told the coach, like, hey, I'm not going to start you in the next game. And Ronaldo's response was, do you really think that's a good idea? And I guess he told him, yeah, I think that's a really good idea, because he did it. But I think now they've said, hey, because the media keep asking about it. They're like, hey, so what happened? What, you know, are you going to kick Ronaldo? Because I think there was even rumors about that, that Ronaldo was going to threatening to leave or whatever if he didn't start, which I don't – way too many rumors get made up about Ronaldo. And, you know, he even straight up pointed it out that he was like, oh – I think he made an Instagram post talking about how Ronaldo did. He's like, oh, and the player that didn't want to, or that was threatening to leave or whatever, he was just basically like trying to, or like making fun of them for making up stories about him. No, I mean, like, in all seriousness, if that's what it takes for Portugal to play better, I think Santos has the cojones to do it, because they have a really good relationship, him and Ronaldo. He's been managing him for a long time, and so I think it would take a lot more than that to break that relationship and that chemistry that they have. So I think Ronaldo will be fine. If he'll be happier if they lift the World Cup trophy in the end and Ronaldo didn't even play 1 minute of it. I think it won't matter in the end how they got there. If Ronaldo didn't play in the final, even if he doesn't take a penalty shot, and that's how they end in they win the final in a shootout without Ronaldo even taking one, he's gonna have to be happy, because what happened? Oh, they took the W. So, I think Morocco's gonna have they need to play like they played against Spain. That's basically the only way they're gonna be able to beat Portugal. Because yeah, that Portuguese train is coming,
and they're looking good. I think after once I saw that game against Uruguay being a 2-0, I just knew that Portugal team was going to be good and at least go into the quarterfinals. And I do think they'll be going to the semifinal as well. Gonçalo Ramos is becoming the star of the show for now. Do you think he's better than we think he is?
I mean, he's definitely got potential, but I feel like he's, you know, still pretty young and he's got room to grow. And so that's what's exciting to me, is where he's going to be, you know, in the next, by the next World Cup. You know, he's going to be 24, 25, basically his prime for, you know, a striker. But yeah, definitely, a lot of potential, you know, for him, especially the way, how clinical he was in his finishing. Like, he was just turning around and shooting and just went into the corner. Like, even Ronaldo was surprised by it. He was like, oh man, I need to step my game up, because this guy's going to take my spot for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, he might be heading out to, well, he's probably putting that Saudi Arabia contract on hold. Like, hold on. If I do win the World Cup, I will sign that contract.
Yeah. You think so?
I think so. He'll turn it down if he loses the World Cup, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think he'll sign it. Hey, this is my retirement check. Let's take a vacation to Saudi Arabia.
To the nice, perfect Saudi Arabian weather. 120 is the average.
Yeah, like Landon said during the broadcast. Yeah, Saudi Arabia's pretty hot, man.
It's pretty hot. Pretty hot.
But yeah, we'll see tomorrow. First game at 10 a.m. Eastern. That's 7 a.m. Pacific. The next match, I think this is, well, I thought before today was going to be the biggest quarterfinal, England versus France, Mbappe versus Kyle Walker. You can put it like that. what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think it's going to be England's time this year and this World Cup, and their curse or whatever they've been having with the World Cup is going to be over, and they're going to be able to beat France. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be going back and forth. So I think it'll end in a 3-2 win for England. And France just, you know, lots of talent there, but I think England is going to be able to expose them in their weaknesses. And the, you know, I feel like France made it, not, they didn't get lucky to get through, but there was just a lot of things, especially defensively and in goal specifically. Lloris, like the mistakes he's been making leading up to this, like I don't see him, or I just don't see France making it, you know, any further with the type of mistakes that he's making. Like other teams, you know, forgave him on the mistakes, but I don't think England is going to, especially when you got players like Jack Grealish and Saka, and like these guys are out here to, you know, make a statement, because they have been propped up a lot because they all come from the Premier League. And so these players are some of the best, so they have to put out, and they're under a lot of pressure. But I think it's going to be their time, and they're going to be able to pull the win off over France.
Do you think England will be able to contain Mbappe?
I think that they will be able to lock him down. You know, with the help of some players, I think Walker and probably like either two or three players are probably going to be on him at all times. And Declan Rice is going to have the time of his life trying to figure out what to do when Mbappe is running at you. Because I mean, to me, Declan Rice is just a wall. So he's going to have his work cut out for him. But I think with having Jude Bellingham, someone who can run, and you know, Kyle Walker, who's still got some legs on him, but I think his experience will help him do the things that you need to do. Because I mean, Mbappe is just going to be running, so it doesn't really take a lot to kind of defend those type of players, like knock them off balance, and that's pretty much all you need to do. But it's how you go about that, because it's not going to be individual effort. I think it's going to have to be a whole team effort from England's side, which that's what I'm saying. It's going to be really tough. They're all going to have to be on their A game. You know, when you got players like Stones and Maguire, like, you know, there's potential there for mistakes. But I think the French team has, I feel like they've kind of exposed themselves and where their weaknesses are more than England has. And I think England, with Gareth Southgate, he's very meticulous type of manager. And I feel like he's studying those things, and he's seeing, you know, what do we need to do? It's like, okay, well, if we just need to put a bouncing shot into Lloris and it comes off his gloves, and we just need someone there to get a tap in, like that's what they're gonna do. Like they're gonna figure out a way to expose France. And you know, France has had a really good run, and so I don't think that they should be disappointed either with, you know, an exit this early. Because I think semifinals is probably what they should be aiming for. But yeah, you know, it's the good teams are going up against the good teams now, so it's not going to be easy, an easy ride anymore. You know, to get to that final game, to get to the World Cup, takes a lot of work, so you got to fight for it.
Yeah, one of these two giants will be expelled. No, be disqualified, eliminated from this World Cup. I have actually France beating England 3-2, so we have the same score line. But you explained it really well, though. So I could switch if I wanted to, but yeah, it's pretty much a toss up. I know the English press is pretty worried about it. France looking good. All they have is Mbappe, though. I think if they shut him down, I think it might be a little bit hard for them to score or to win this match. But England is pretty much stacked. Raheem Sterling is back, but like what I've been hearing, Foden will be starting over him. So that, which is good. You know, Foden, I think, is better than Sterling, to be honest. So tomorrow, that is the 2 p.m. game, or the 12 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be pretty exciting. Two action-packed. Now, Francisco, which of these two games will most likely go into penalty shootouts?
If I had to choose one, probably England, France, which then that would mean England are not going to be, you know, penalties are not really on their side. So we'll see.
Well,
hopefully it doesn't have to go to the penalties, but
they won their first one last World Cup against Colombia.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But that doesn't count. You want like a bigger team.
Right. That it doesn't count against that team.
Well, there you have it. Before we go, this is an interesting topic that's been coming up these past couple of days. This World Cup has been great. Everyone's saying some positive things about it. Is it because the players are coming in mid-season form and that's why this World Cup we're seeing good quality? Versus a summer World Cup where they played 9 months of soccer, league soccer, they're a little bit fatigued versus mid-season. What do you think?
Good question. Good question. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Like I would probably have a better answer after the fact, after seeing, okay, so they have to go back in Boxing Day on the 26th, right? The English players have to go right back into it. So maybe we'll see some decline in the intensity of the play for some teams, you know, for when they get back. But I feel like regardless, like we're still seeing the best soccer that we could potentially see, you know, when international game FIFA. So I don't really notice a difference as far as like, are the teams playing better or are players performing better? Like I feel like it's kind of the same. But maybe there is some kind of a little bit of influence, you know, about going in halfway through the season and not at the end when players are super tired. Some players have already won trophies. Like, you know, what if it's a player that or players from leagues where they're like, well, we're probably not going to get called up, like, you know, the championship, or even like, you know, just like specifically in the UK, because they have such a massive pool of players and so many soccer leagues. You know, like there's players that can win trophies, you know, domestically, and then be like, well, if I'm not going to make it to the World Cup, why does it matter, you know, to me? So, but I didn't really see a difference. I think the players are playing at the top level, and I don't think it would have made a difference if we were seeing these guys in the summer or now. You know, but regardless, everyone's going to complain about how much game time, you know, like, yeah, like you're saying, people are happy of how the games are playing out, but then, you know, it's going to immediately switch to, oh, but the players play every 3 days and blah blah blah, it's still the same thing. Like, it's never going to make anybody happy no matter what you do. You know, if we make the World Cup in the summer, in the winter, or whatever. I do think it's something that FIFA we'll probably look into as far as like maybe have another one in the future in the winter again, just to kind of level out, you know, the spacing. You know, it's like 3.5 years to this one, so maybe do another one just to kind of balance things out. You know, who knows with the bidding process, any country could be the host. So we'll see what happens. But I didn't notice a difference. Did you notice a difference with?
Yes, I have noticed the quality a little bit better. I'm seeing the right teams, actually. I mean, probably every World Cup we see the right teams making it in the quarterfinals. But I do see the quality better. Energy's good. I like it. I really like the momentum. I really do. To have another Winter World Cup, yes, if it was held in another Middle East country, like which will probably happen like decades from now. But to be honest, to have this World Cup was trouble for a lot of the clubs, the leagues. I know the European leagues were giving like, no, don't do it, but they had to give in. But it was a lot of, you know, pulling strings and things like that. So,
yeah.
But I think the only exception, if it was the Middle East, I don't think they'll put a Winter World Cup for like a South American team. You know, it's not like 120 degrees there.
Yeah, July. Right.
And it's cooler in Argentina because that's the plan for 2030. Is they're going to have it in Argentina, Uruguay, and some other countries. I like to have it in one or two countries, not like four, but it is what it is. Copa America rumors, strong rumors, Francisco, that it will be held in the United States and Mexico and USA. Well, especially USA. I'm not sure what Mexico is saying, but USA wants more competition. So they're saying, hey, Comebol, come to the States, you'll make a lot more money than hosting it in Ecuador, which I believe they canceled that. It's going to be played in 2024. Your thoughts for the 2024 Copa America?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to make a tournament in the U.S. and then, you know, invite the CONCACAF teams. I think it's a pretty good potential for making money, and also gives the CONCACAF teams a shot at, you know, playing some games against the best South American teams. And I think there are right now, especially with, I think it would be a good way to give people a little bit of a taste of what's to come for the World Cup. So I think that would help sell a lot of tickets. And I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't do it, especially if they've already canceled the host or of they canceled having it in Ecuador already. I say do it. And from what I heard, as far as Mexican soccer media, is at first I heard that Mexico wasn't going to join, but then I heard now that they heard the U.S. I just heard that the U.S., as soon as they heard any talk about it, they were like, yes, let's get me in there. Like, where do we have to sign? Like, we'll
we need
join.
To win 2026. Yeah. We need 2024 to be the practice.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know why Mexico would hesitate, but I heard that there was a little hesitation from Mexico. And I also heard Canada is also going to
their hands
join
as well.
I
believe this Copa America in 24, I read from one article that it will be hosted by those three countries, Canada, Mexico, and USA. Is that what you've been hearing or not clear?
For the World Cup?
Or no, for the Copa America.
Oh, I just heard the U.S.
Oh,
okay. I didn't hear about all three.
Yeah, but we don't need to have a game in Monterrey. I mean, I'm kidding. Yeah, we'll find out more. Any news on the Mexican coach, or it's just like the U.S. is trying to hurry up and see if they want Berhalter or get someone else like Chiche?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard rumors. I haven't heard. I think the Federation is just taking a really long look at themselves in the mirror, and you know, they're trying to figure out who's going to stay and who's going to go. Because if the board and the people that are making the decisions are not up to par on the same page as far as like what they want to win or what they expect for Mexico, then it doesn't matter who you put in as a coach. Like, everything at the top is, you know, it's the breaking down of the squad starts from the top, from the people that make the decisions. And if those people aren't making the right decisions for the team, then it's not going to work out. So I think it's good that they're taking their time. I mean, it's only 3.5 years, but I think they're going to pick they need to take their time to pick the one guy that's going to do it right, so that we don't have another Tata Martino, you know, situation where it's 3 or 4 months to the World Cup and we're thinking about, you know, getting another coach or changing him. You know, I think make a change and stick with it. And then after the tournaments or whatever, like, okay, if we go into Copa America and that's a complete failure, then maybe bring another, you know, manager in at that point. But I think they should plan for bringing in a guy who's going to do Copa America, who's going to do the World Cup, and is going to, you know, do a whole cycle, you know, including the World Cup, 4-year cycle. I don't think we should plan for the short, because it's just not gonna work out. Like, the short plans, they've never worked out. Maybe one tournament or two and it's successful, but I think the bigger picture is the World Cup, and that's what we should be focusing on. You know, with Copa America, I think we should go into it with a mentality of, you know, it's going to be a more competitive tournament. So, you know, let's just learn from the experience rather than being like, we can win it, you know, at all costs, trying to fool themselves or the fans or whatever. Like, I just think that we should be real about, you know, about the outcomes, and especially the condition that the team is in right now. Like, nobody's hopeful on Mexico's side right now.
Yeah, and also keep in mind there is a CONCACAF Gold Cup next summer,
and a Gold Cup.
That's something that maybe Mexico wants to win back. Because the U.S. I think is tied right now with Mexico and CONCACAF trophy, so that's coming back. The U.S. is a little bit like speeding up, trying to get some, trying to find some answers. I've been hearing Berhalter is has been offered or has been having talks, but obviously I heard if he does get a European coach offer, then he'll take that first. Well, I mean, depending on the European job, you know, this, it can't be just a Swedish club, you know, second division. It has to be something legit, like a Crystal Palace. No, I'm just kidding. So we'll see what happens on the U.S. front. They're a little bit more rushed in Mexico. So we'll might hear some more news of that soon. The U.S. has a January camp in January. They usually get their young players and also some MLS players and see what they got in the pool. And the pool is pretty vast for the U.S. So don't think this squad we see right now is the only people. Could be slightly different in 4 years, actually 3.5 years. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep in track. And World Cup continues tomorrow, the quarterfinals, England, France, and Morocco, Portugal. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about, hey, should Man United build a trophy for Ronaldo?
Should they build a statue for him and yes. put it in the coach's office?
Yeah. I said stadium or statue.
What did you say? No, you said a trophy.
Oh my, yeah. Statue. Yeah. Should they build a statue in front of Old Trafford?
No, they put it in the manager's office. And then the rule is that you can't change it. You can't move it. You have to keep the Ronaldo statue in your office. You have to look at it every day.
It'll be better. It'll probably be better than the one they did in Portugal, where he looked really weird and deformed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was the weirdest statue.
Yeah, I think he had the artist redo the bus. Yeah,
I'm sure he got that. He made that happen.
He's like, oh, are you sure? I'm like, what do you mean? Are you sure? Have you seen my bank account? I'll pay you whatever. Redo that. If you want to get a hold of me, talk to me, talk some smack. If you're a Barca fan, if you're a US fan, like, I can take it. We can go back and forth. It's all good. You can find me on Twitter at Francisco BCP. That's the best way to reach me. Talk about Mexico, CONCACAF, whatever you want. The next World Cup, this World Cup. If you want some predictions, I'll give you some predictions. Just hit me up at Francisco BCP on Twitter.
By the way, this week, there was verbal agreement between Real Madrid and Brazilian star Endrick, which we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. Verbal agreement that he's coming to Madrid, I think earliest 2024, actually, because I think for some legal matters. But your thoughts on that? Is that a big signing?
Yeah, big signing, potential for the future, obviously. 16 years old right now. So obviously he's not going to come until, I think he has to be at least 17. So he'll probably be just like Vinicius, just like Rodrigo. He'll be signed for Madrid, but then, go on loan or go to the reserves, go to Castilla. So I think that it's a little pricey for 16. I think it was 70 million, but
more than what Mbappe was offered, I believe.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think it'll pay out with, you know, the influence of Vinicius and Rodrigo. I think that gives me a lot of confidence. Like, I think I trust Madrid's picks, you know, of who's going to be the potential next, you know, superstar or great, you know, soccer player. I mean, it's a signing for the future. Like, there's no way this guy's going to come in and get a starting spot right away, because we have Vinicius and we have Rodrigo. So we'll see what happens.
And we'll see who Florentino signs from this World Cup, because every World Cup he signs one player that he likes or that shines. So we'll see. It might be Bellingham, to be honest. Jude. That's my guess. Jude Bellingham. Or Gapco. Gapco's another good option. I know some clubs in England are looking at him. So a lot of stars, which you can look at our website, thesportscast.net, for the latest. We do have some world football news there sometimes. even though we're more focused on college football, NFL, and basketball, but we do put on like the main ones. We don't talk about what Leicester City did or Burnley did. No, we talk about like the big clubs and see what happens. And also go to our Twitter, the Sportscast One, and also our Instagram, the Sportscast One, the latest and greatest. A lot of you guys are coming back for coming back on Twitter for some reason. So enjoy it while it's good. Anyways, World Cup's still on. Any closing words, Francisco, before we head off on this beautiful weekend and see Portugal tomorrow morning?
Closing words are Argentina, Portugal in the final. Let's go.
There you have it. And that was your World Cup coverage update.